Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. How do you help kids develop character and confidence in youth sports? Communication is key, says Michael Langlois. He's co-owner of Prospect Communications, which helps parents, coaches, and administrators develop more effective communication approaches. He also has four grown sons who played many sports.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Lisa. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for joining us. So now, tell me a little bit about your company. Do you only work with sports, youth sports folks?
My background, I mean, I'm an old guy now. I'm in my mid-later 50s. I'd rather say mid, but I'm getting closer to later now. So I've been involved in the communications field probably since the mid-70s when I out of university. And in terms of the youth sports side of my communications advisory work, that's probably more the last, you know, X number of years, the last 10 years I've been involved in sports. I work with coaches and athletes as an advisor as well in the communications area. And I work with some NHL coaches, some young athletes, some who've gone on to play professional sports, et cetera. I do have corporate clients. But when it comes to the youth sports side of it, that's pretty much in the last 5 to 10 years that I've really begun to, and maybe in part out of, you know, you mentioned our children. We've been involved, just like I know you have in your family. We've been involved for probably 25 years in youth sports as parents, as really poor coaches in my case. I would volunteer from time to time. Baseball was sort of the background that I had as a played.
Did you call yourself a poor coach or a poor coach?
A poor with a P as in Peter.
Oh, okay.
No, a poor coach. And I'm just acknowledging my many flaws here. And the same as a parent. I mean, where do we come to these things in life, right, where we think, not that we have all the answers, but we think that we've seen good things that work well, we've seen not so good things that don't work so well with young people, and that's why, you know, the seminar that we do, you know, and you highlighted it at the beginning, you know, how can coaches, certainly we as parents, but how can clubs, through their coaches, help young athletes? Because how many go on, Lisa, you probably know the stats better than I do. You know, young people who play soccer, who play, you know, basketball, baseball, name a sport, you know, individual sports from swimming, how many go on to be Olympic or professional athletes? Less than 1% of 1%?
Yeah, I think it's certainly less than 1%. What I can tell you, and we were discussing this earlier, is that 70 to 75% of them drop out by the time they're 13.
Well, and this is exactly, and so why do they drop out? Again, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that if we make things more enjoyable for young people, and it's not just as simple as, well, coaches yell too much. There's so many things that youth coaches can do to make a young person love the sport. And just on the point, I want to make sure I make this one today, if I don't make any others too articulately, but what you just said about losing kids, we're losing probably, what, almost three-quarters of kids who start off in sports by the age of 13, 14, they're gone. Some
right.
of those kids, I would argue, Lisa, they love the sport. You name the sport, whatever it is, they love it. We knock it out of them. We as parents, we as coaches, and I'm not a coach, but real coach, people who do it all the time, they, not on purpose, not by design, but they end up killing the love that kids have for athletics or for participating in sports, and that's a shame. So we need to find ways to, and my focus and, you know, background is communication, so I think there's things we can do from a communications perspective to help motivate and inspire kids to stay with the sport, but we certainly have to be more positive than a lot of people sometimes are with young people.
Well, now let's get concrete here. We're giving tips to parents, coaches, and administrators about how they can better communicate with sports kids to build kids' confidence and success, basically. So let's give us a few tips.
Well, I'll tell you one thing right off the bat that I think is very effective. One of the things that I think sometimes coaches don't do and should do is find out what motivates each of the kids that they coach. I think sometimes we don't have a clue. I think if we ask the simple question, Lisa, coaches rather, ask the simple question to, you know, little Susie and little Johnny at the age of 10, 12, 15, even older, what do you really love about this sport? What motivates you to play this sport? Because once the coach understands that, then you have a unique relationship with every child. Because every child loves something or is motivated or inspired by something in the sport a little bit differently. And then as a coach, you now have a window into that child to find out, okay, so when I deal with Johnny, when I interact with him or her, I now understand this is what they love. So I've got to nurture that. That doesn't mean I can't teach them other things. And now if we're talking about high-level, elite, competitive athletes, you can't just work on the things you love to do. And I understand that, right? You have to work on things that you're not as good at, and that requires a lot of attention and hard work and focus and all of those things. But I'm talking in broad terms here, but I think that's one of the things. And I think if we can find out what motivates, as the coaches, if they can find out what motivates a child, what do they really love about the sport, that's a concrete thing.
I want to interrupt and tell a story about my favorite coach, which I often do. My son's basketball coach used to ask parents to fill out a little questionnaire, and that was one of the questions he asked. What do you expect from – why is your child in sports, and why do you think he's – what do you expect from him, and what does he expect? And I thought that – and then he would really use that as he was coaching the kids.
Well, but it's huge. And the thing is, every coach has their own little approach, and I think that's great. And that's the way it should be. But more coaches need to do that, and not just do it and then forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's an active, it's a living, breathing, reference point for your relationship with that young 10, 12, 14, whatever year old boy or girl, because it's going to help you. To me, yes, that is a tip. I mean, I think one of the other things that is really important where we bring the parents, the coaches, the players together is the idea of, you'd want something practical, joint expectations. Like in our seminars, we always say, look, it's so important, Lisa, to sit down at the beginning of a season at any level of in any sport, and as the coach say, okay, here's sort of what my expectations are, but also what are your expectations as the parent and as a young player. But you've got to arrive at joint expectations, because if you can't marry the two, you may have problems.
Right.
Right. So what are your expectations of playing time? What are my expectations of a coach? Everybody's got to understand, because not every coach is, certainly you and I and probably anybody listening knows, not every club is the right club for your son or daughter. Not every coach is the right coach. So sometimes you can agree to disagree and move on to a different situation. That's the great thing about, you know, freedom. There is some freedom in most districts. There's freedom of movement, and there are opportunities. If you don't have the right fit, you got to try to find, I think, the right fit. But I think joint expectations is key, because that's what causes a lot of problems down the road.
Yes.
Between parents and players and coaches. Well, you know, 2 months ago I thought this was going to be the case, but we never discussed it. But if you did discuss it, it's out in the open, and I think that helps a huge amount.
Now, what about if you can give a few tips about how to communicate with kids? Let's say, how do you communicate with them before a game?
Well, I think there, to me, it's you're like, this is assuming that you've done a good job coaching in practice, right? And I just want to briefly on that. So before a game, I think where it becomes easy before a game, if you have inspired them in practice. Like, if you're just standing around in practice and you're not doing anything interesting, like, that's why practices are so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody can play every minute of every game in every sport, right? If they're on a basketball team, there are 12 or 15 kids. Well, on the court, how many on at one time? Five. So not everybody's on the court all the time. So your practices have to be so important, because everybody plays there, right? Everybody should be training at practice. So before the game, I think that you're reminding of not only the team strategy, but I think you're pumping up individuals to go out and love what they love to do. In other words, do what they love. And that can, I mean, usually, yes, it entails hard work. But if kids are having fun, isn't that really, for 99.9% of kids, why they're there? So really the focus is on what you've learned in training, how you're going to try to apply that in the particular game that's before us. To me, the biggest thing is you want your people to be out there and just having an absolute ball playing together. And the other thing is that what we don't do good enough in this society, in certain sports, soccer is certainly one of them, we need people to work together better. We need coaches who teach kids to work together harmoniously as a team so there's no blaming when things go wrong. And because if people are positive in the face of things not going well, it doesn't mean they don't care or the kids don't care about doing well or trying, if we keep score in the games that we keep scoring that we're trying to win, but you're at least trying to get them to be supportive of one another, because that's a much better life lesson. And that's one of my big criticisms of a sport like soccer, which I love, and one of our sons has played for many years. But there's so much blaming. You know, watch a typical soccer game from a European pro game to the local. You know, there's too much criticism within each other, like your own team. And that's no way to play sports. That's not a healthy, wise way to play.
Well, again, instead of talking about what they shouldn't do, let's talk about what they should do. Just a few communication tips, because not everyone is trained in communications.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.